Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to the phone lines real quick before we go around the league. Let's go to Mickey. Mickey, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I'm kind of mad at you because 2 days in a row I was left on hold over an hour, and I'm only calling because your followers call me and say, hey, you need to straighten these guys out because Monday and Tuesday you're rambling, but I got to set the record straight, and I'll hang up and listen. First of all, everyone looked the other way when I said all Bill O'Brien did was rearrange the deck furniture on the Titanic for this season. You know, you guys were wise in not taking a pizza bet from me. But, you know, we're terrible. And now B.O.B. has emptied the cupboard. We have J.J. gets no help. We got rid of Honey Badger. And our offense is mostly Deshaun, run for your life and perform. And so we're going nowhere. So I'm going to predict, McNair doesn't want to hear this. We're definitely in rebuilding. And everybody's kind of looked the other way. They said, well, we got all these receivers. He's got more options or whatever. It doesn't matter if he's on his back looking at the sky. So I'll hang up and listen. But my analogy, just like my mother-in-law said, McNair doesn't care. He wasn't proactive when he fired Bill. He was scared to death because he thought J.J. was going to leave. And two things a fan wants. We want to be competitive and we want entertainment. Well, we don't really see J.J. doing much because in pro football, you know, they're putting two or three guys on him first the game to wear him out, and then he gets no help. So he's a great American, but I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Mickey,
we're going
listen,
nowhere.
I got to be honest, Nick. Here. We said all that stuff that Mickey just referenced. We said that.
You think it's a rebuild? I don't think you can when you're
paying. No, I said they need to rebuild.
Well, how? How can you rebuild when you're paying a quarterback $40 million?
And well,
you're
here's the thing.
Laramie Tunsil, $22 million.
If you retool, you're retooling. If you retool, you're retooling with this. And the way you rebuild, I mean, what you have right now isn't good. I mean, you guys know how I feel about this roster. I've made it very, very clear, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This is a bad, bad, bad NFL roster. Say what you want about scheme. Say what you want about people in, you know, in the right positions and coaching and all that. It's a bad roster. So I'm with Mickey on the rebuild. The problem is there's only one way to get there. That's slashing, well, two. Slashing salary and making trades to get draft picks.
The other thing about it is, I think it's pretty similar to what the Colts went through with Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
In that early on, he was able to be the lipstick on the pig of Chuck Pagano as an NFL coach. And I like Chuck. Everybody likes Chuck. Chuck's a good guy. He's a good coordinator. But he was not a very good NFL coach. But Andrew Luck was able to kind of carry him. And I think that's what Deshaun did the last few years with Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
And things were left so strained, like in such a bad situation, and for different reasons, that they had to bring in a new regime, and that new regime had to start the rebuilding process. And they had to do it with Andrew Luck on the sidelines for 1 year, which was actually kind of a good thing because Andrew got to get healthy and he came back.
Right.
That's what this next GM is going to have to do. But the only problem that GM is going to have is that, unlike when you had that one bridge year,
mm-hmm,
for Chris Ballard in the Colts front office, you're not going to have draft picks. They drafted Quentin Nelson in the first round.
Right.
One of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. They drafted Darius Leonard in that same draft. in the second round, one of the best linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Texans don't have that. So when you talk about the, you talk about not having a first and a second round pick, the Colts are a prime example that during their bridge year, 2017, I believe it was, 2017, they drafted two guys, one in the first, one in the second, and those guys have completely changed the overall state of their franchise, and then they got their quarterback back for a short time. Texans don't have that luxury. You're not going to get a Quentin Nelson or Darius Leonard first-round pick, second-round pick.
And the key thing you've been talking about right there is draft picks. You know, making the most, not just having them, well, the most important thing is having them, but evaluating them and getting the right players picked. I go back, you know, we were talking about the Dwayne Brown trade earlier, and that would be the one that we could, we would both redo if we were Bill O'Brien, because the butterfly effect of it, you're still feeling with the Laremy Tunsil and all that. You know, they got a second and a third in that trade. They came up with Martinez Rankin and
Lonnie Johnson.
And Lonnie Johnson, who is changing positions now. He's not a cornerback, according to the Texans for coaches for their best fit. So you're not. It's not only just getting the picks; it's getting the right guys evaluating. Bill O'Brien, as an evaluator of draft,
awful,
horrible,
awful, garbage,
horrible.
713-572-4610 to get in. This guy calls himself the Hall of Famer. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Hey, hey,
Uncle Chupa. What's going on?
How's life?
Life has been treating me good, Uncle Chupa. I want to first start off by saying, how is my main man Gibson doing?
Gibson is hanging in there, bad arthritis, but he still thinks he's as good once as he ever was. 11 years old, Saturday coming up.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's my main man, Gibson. We go way back.
You're darn right.
Vandermeer days.
You're darn right.
Okay, well, I want to just say this here, though, Uncle Chupa. I don't agree with trading J.J. Watt. We can't let him go, Chupa. We can't let him go. He's iconic to this city. He means so much to this city. On the field, off the field, you don't let that kind of player go. You just don't do it. I think that'll hurt Texans fans more than you know it, Uncle Chupa.
Well, how do you get draft picks is the question. Appreciate the call. How do you get, you're only going to get there with draft picks. No one here is saying J.J. Watt is not, I mean, what he is, J.J. Watt, you know, perfect in every way. He's like the Mary Poppins of the NFL. You know,
who gets that analogy? Does he fly with an umbrella? What is Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins, they described her as perfect in every, nearly perfect in every way. J.J. Watt is the Mary Poppins of the NFL. Everyone gets Mary Poppins.
She had some flaws.
There you go.
She had some flaws.
Thank you, Figgy.
First of all, it's weird they let her around kids. Flying around on an umbrella, just coming in through the window, that's creepy as hell. Second of all, the way that she spoke, that's not how you talk to kids. She's talking to these kids like they're Harvard
pish-posh
business people. Like, she's using words that these kids don't even like. Mary Poppins was a creep, as you were.
Who doesn't like Mary Poppins?
She was fine, but she's a creep.
Landry.
I just wouldn't describe her as perfect. She was creepy. She shouldn't been around. She shouldn't been allowed to be around children. A spoonful
that
of sugar?
That was her job.
You know how bad that is for your health? She's giving kids spoonfuls of sugar. Half these parents these days won't even let kids eat Happy Meals. And this Mary Poppins character.
Were you
going to
call
spoons?
Her the B word?
No.
Yeah, you were.
This woman.
He was about to.
This woman is giving kids.
This what?
This woman is giving kids full spoons of sugar to take their medicine?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And what kind of lesson does that teach? Hey, kid, if you don't want to do something, guess what? We'll basically give you pixie sticks so that you can take your medicine. Mary Poppins had flaws. She wasn't perfect,
as you were. She was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That, too.
Is what she was.
That, too.
You're the only person in history not to like Mary Poppins.
I said she's not perfect, and I said she shouldn't be around kids.
Oh, that's...
She was a bad nanny.
She's was giving them job.
Well, whatever. She was around giving them sugar, and she was around talking to them like she was, like, preparing kids for the SATs. These kids can barely even talk, and she's sitting there using these words in front of them.
Anywho, so J.J. Watt, no one here is saying J.J. Watt isn't like the Mary Poppins of the NFL. Practically perfect in every way. But you need draft picks. You got to get draft picks, and he's going to bring you the most.
713-572-4610.
How do you not like Mary Poppins?
To get in. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to agree with you guys first off. And let
about Mary that. Poppins?
Oh, yeah. Of course about Mary Poppins. But also about the rebuild. And I think that starts with trading J.J. And not take anything away, everybody loves JJ. He's been great. He's deserving of all of his defensive players of the year. But let me ask you this. I'll hang up and listen. Which defense that we've had here in Houston that JJ's been on where he's been the outright leader of the defense?
Oh, I think his rookie year. I think for the last almost the entirety of his career.
He's been the three-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not be prisoner of the moments. And I would say 2 years ago, the only time he's been healthy, he was the leader of the defense 2 years ago.
This defense became what it was on a playoff afternoon at NRG Stadium when J.J. Watt made a play that changed his life and changed the course of a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, J.J. was the dude. It's happened more times than it hasn't. And usually when it hasn't happened, it's been because he was hurt. When he's been on the field,
right,
he's been, he's the leader of the defense right now. Not that that's something that he wants to put at the top of his resume, but that's where it is. Dang, people just want to talk about trading J.J. Joe, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to trade J.J., but I'd like to know how the hell we got there with O'Brien.
Got where?
It was the owner that let all this take place with O'Brien taking all the power. That's basically what I have to say.
No. You're not wrong. I mean, that's absolutely what happened. Make no mistake. We can talk about Jack Easterby and what he's doing now or the worry we have that he's in charge. No, but it was Bill O'Brien that bamboozled ownership. There was also an element of timing that I think we need to be fair about. Bob McNair was dying. Cal McNair all of a sudden was thrust into the forefront of leadership, of making decisions. I don't think it was convenient for him or anything that he wanted to do to all of a sudden, with his father dying and he's all of a sudden making bigger decisions, go ahead and cut bait with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien was very fortunate in terms of the timing of the sad things that were going on in the McNair family.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. It's Around the NFL here on Sports Radio 610. Thursday Night Football tonight, the Panthers at the Falcons. Here was Matt Ryan last week. Todd Gurley made a mistake. Falcons trying to run out the clock and then finish the game, but that Todd Gurley scores too early with them trailing 2-2. They give the ball to Matt Stafford. They end up losing.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Todd Gurley has to be upset that Matt Ryan was mic'd up because the foolishness was bad enough, but he was warned about it seconds before.
Hey, don't score. Yeah, I would don't score. Down. Don't score. Get the first, get down.
His give is to Gurley. Gurley through the middle. They're going to let him score, and he went in. That's a big mistake by Todd Gurley. Lions are going to get it back. What a mental mistake by Todd Gurley.
Man, I just feel awful for him. I know he's getting roasted. How can you be so dumb? He just told you not to score. I mean, I get it, and it's not inaccurate, but that was like, I mean, his whole life, since he was in peewee football, he's been conditioned. You see the goal line, you cross the goal line, and then he caught himself too late and fell on the goal line. The way I described it earlier was it's like the cookie. You tell your five-year-old kid, don't get a cookie before dinner. Don't get a cookie before dinner. Don't get a cookie before dinner. But the cookie jar is right there within reach. What does your five-year-old do? It was just too good to pass up. He got that cookie. I think that's what happened with Todd Gurley there. And plus the muscle memory.
You might be going to hell after the show. You compared J.J. Watt to Mary Poppins.
Yes.
He's one of the biggest insults I've heard in a long time.
No. He's practically perfect in every way.
Well, she's not.
She is.
Landry Locker,
John
Lopez.
That was her
Lopez.
Job description.
Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. DeAndre Hopkins, he's about to make you laugh, he's about to make you cry, and we're finally going to get the details as to why one of our favorite players on this show tried to snatch that dude's chain. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful
whatever you say, lady.
Of sugar helps the medicine go down.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. DeAndre Hopkins, he was on the All Things Covered podcast with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden. He was asked where the team's win on Sunday ranked among his best dubs of all time. This is what the former Texans receiver had to say.
At what point did it become rocky between you and Bill O'Brien?
Yeah, man, I would say, you know, it was like a head coach player relationship. It really wasn't a relationship, to say the least. So, you know, I was doing my job, he was doing his job. I guess, you know, the rocky part, I guess, you know, came when I knew I was about to be traded. And that's really it. But, obviously, previously playing against the Chiefs last year, go to win a Super Bowl up 21-0. That was an exhilarating game. But I'm going to have to go with this game right here because obviously my team won and it was a Super Bowl contender. Great game by the Seahawks. But this game right here is number one for me in my NFL career. It tops them all.
So that was him talking about when his relationship went wrong with B.O.B. and saying that game Sunday was the best game he's ever been a part of. Is he a prisoner of the moment, or can you think of a better game that new cad here with the Texans?
I think kind of yes to both of those points. Yes, a prisoner of the moment, because I think he realizes how good this or what opportunities are within reach for this team, for this Cardinals team. They've got a real chance, man. I mean, they just beat a team that was – everybody's Super Bowl contender, if not Super Bowl favorite, coming into the year. All right. So, yeah, I think that's part of the prisoner of the moment, but it's accurate. I also feel like he's had better games. I mean, the Cowboys game here, better moments, right? Cowboys game here on, was it Sunday night, Monday night, whatever it was one of the ones that come immediately to mind.
I said the Seattle game, Deshaun's rookie year, where he had over 200 yards.
Yeah.
And he might have scored too quick. It was like a 73-yard touchdown or whatever, and Jimmy Graham ended up scoring the game winner. I think he's had a lot of good ones, but obviously he's the prisoner of the moment, and this might be the most fun he's had because he's playing for Kingsbury and not King Bill. But I will say this. There's a lot of things Newt doesn't miss about being in Houston. I think that's very well documented. You just heard him talk about when stuff went wrong with he and King Bill. But there is one thing that I know for a fact that he misses, and as much as he likes Kyler Murray, as much as he wants to ride and die, mm-hmm. I think in Nuke's perfect world, he wanted to be with Deshaun Watson from the beginning of Watson's career to the end of Hopkins' career. And he confirmed that on the All Things Covered podcast when he was asked about how he felt when the quarterback of your Houston Texans was selected by Rick Smith.
Man, when they drafted Deshaun Watson, I think I told everyone in my family that's the happiest I've been since being in the NFL.
Wow.
Wow.
True statement, man. That was, I went to the Pro Bowl, hung out with some guys I looked up to, but when we got Deshaun, man, I knew then that, you know, my career could excel to, you know, my potential. Him and I broke records together. Obviously he's still doing his thing down there, with what he has, and, you know, he'll turn around. I know Deshaun, he's a leader. He a baller, but man, once we drafted Deshaun, man, I think, you know, I was happier than I would obviously anybody, cause he's throwing me the football. And, we bonded from day one. You know, I gave him advice, you know, just about, you know, how to maneuver, man, and how to be a professional. You know, he's obviously taking the next step and doing it right now.
I mean, I think he, in a perfect world, wants to be here. But knows he can't be here because of Bill O'Brien, and I think he's not having any regrets. As much as he likes Deshaun Watson, we've seen the videos in the offseason after he got traded. Remember their Instagram video, talking to each other, having a great time? I mean, they're really, really tight. They're just not going to play each other with each other for the foreseeable future.
Right, damn now. Shame. Landry, yeah. Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. And you just wonder if, you know, this mindset of not rewarding alphas when they want – you know, to get taken care of with multiple years on their deals. You wonder if that's going to be the mindset of the next regime, because it hurts you with Dwayne Brown. John McClain actually wrote about that on sportsradio610.com, the butterfly effect of the Dwayne Brown trade. You could make a case that led to the DeAndre Hopkins trade, because you were paying Laremy Tunsil $20 million instead of paying Dwayne Brown $10 million. And you set a precedent where you weren't going to have any wiggle room for Dwayne Brown or DeAndre Hopkins. And you lost those two first-round picks and that second-round pick. Like, the snowball effect is there. And I just wonder if this choir boy, this whitey-tidy mindset is going to carry over with the new regime. And because it's going to be hard to overcome. And I think if you have that same mindset, things are going to get worse before they get better. I think you need to loosen that up a little bit.
I think you absolutely.
And some box of briefs.
I think you have to occasionally go commando. You have to go outside the box big time. But that comes down to convincing ownership to get out of its comfort zone as well. The Texans are never going to completely swerve off the road, right? That you just want them to take the occasional exit, you know, and come back and be the, you know, because they value character and the you know, the way that a player represents the organization. They value that. But you have to be able to add players that are, that the coach can handle, that the coach can absolutely handle. Are you looking at what I think you're looking at?
We'll talk about this at the end of the show. I honestly thought something was wrong with my computer.
No, I saw it too.
I thought I'd been hacked or something like that. I don't. We'll talk about this on the next segment. Okay. But before we do, speaking of choir boys, Aqib Talib, it's safe to say, is not a choir boy. He is one of our favorite characters on In the Loop. He's got a podcast now too. It's called Call to the Booth. And one of the legendary moments with Aqib Talib on the football field was when he tried to snatch Michael Crabtree's chain, not once, but twice. And in his podcast, he gives the insights onto why he wanted to snatch Michael Crabtree's chain.
We both from Dallas. I'm saying he from the South, I'm from the North. You know this. You know, we talk noise there. You sorry, but we'll get catch the ball and what. But his noise talking was a little bit different, man. It was, when I see you back in the city, I'm a beep, beep, I'm a beep. I'm a, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, hold on, bro. I'm like, I really be outside in the city. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't just football talk. It was a lot of calling you out your name talk. It was a little more personal. And I think it came from us just knowing each other around the city.
Right.
I pulled it the first time. Boom. I had a nice little plan for it, too. I was going to do some things. But I'm telling you, look, hey, broke. So I thought I had it in my hand until I got about almost to the sideline. I looked. I'm like, damn, I don't got it. Then on the replay, I kind of see it still hanging around his neck. The second time I snatched it, I had it in my hand, but he blocked me for 15 extra more seconds. I didn't end up dropping the chain. And just, I done dropped it and got to the fight the second time. So I don't have none of the chain.
I mean, that's kind of assault, isn't it?
South side versus north side Dallas. Huh? That's what we're going with.
He makes it feel like, oh, we were just messing around. No, I don't know about that. I think you both took it pretty darn serious.
So what the hell was he planning to do with the chain?
I think he was just posing. I mean, just showing off.
Well,
look what I got.
He said he had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Aqib Talib on that plan.
Well, I was going to put it on Instagram. I had a new little dog watch, my big pit. He like, that's my big pit, right? He was a baby then, so I was gonna put it on him. You know what I'm saying? Welcome on the Instagram with the little new chain on. Action, who gave you that chain? You know what I'm saying? I'll see if I get a bark out of him. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, when you going to put he was going to put a medallion on it that said MC.
Entertainment, baby. We, at the end of the day, we work in entertainment.
Well, I mean, that part is true. But I think he was a little more serious than cavalier like he was showing right there.
Lord. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I got some good news and I got some weird news. The good news is a local legend can still be welcome home. The weird news is I feel like I'm in a strange dream. What the hell next?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Trade deadline. Still waiting. No moves made, though. No moves made. JJ, still a Texan. Will Fuller, still a Texan. Randall Cobb, still a Texan. Whitney Merciless, somehow still a Texan. Very overpaid, though.
Somehow.
Who else we got?
Randall Cobb? Well, that's going to be a tough trade.
Brandon Cooks, still a Texan.
Yeah.
Him and East to BB flexing. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Larry and Stafford. Larry, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's going on, fellas? Y'all might as well close your eyes and get over that old trade thing of JJ, man. Y'all know that ain't going to happen, man. Whether it should or shouldn't, that's not up for debate. It's just not going to happen, and I'm okay with it not happening because I can tell you Cal and Mr. McNair, may he rest in peace, They made the decision that J.J. Watt is a three-time Defensive Player of the Year, first ballot Hall of Famer, and he will not wear another team's uniform. And it makes sense, and I understand it. And so we got to understand that J.J. Watt is not the problem. We got to understand Deshaun Watson is not the problem. The problem has always been that jackass that live in University, West U over there, man, Bill O'Brien. And the fact that he left all this garbage back there, the Devlins and the Perrys of the world back there to continue to mind-numbingly mess
over. Put Tim Kelly in there.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I was going to get to him. You just got in a rush, Landy. I was saving that special dumbass for last because we understand that what Tim Kelly over there is doing is running those five Mickey Mouse plays that he's running and ain't going to get nothing done. Look, this is a simple fix, man, and it's just going to have to wait till the season is over. I do not trust anybody that walks around handing out little lollipops and Jesus sandals to people like Jack Easterby telling us, well, we're having a great day, kids, to go and trade the greatest player in franchise history. He's not going to get the value that we should get for a J.J. Watt. And the fact of the matter is, it's J.J. looking around. If J.J. goes and asks for the trade, that's one thing. But for him to facilitate it, no. Let J.J. sit here until our GM and our head coach get here and they can evaluate this talent. The bigger problem is Romeo has to make a decision to go ahead and play some of these young boys over there and let them get some game time experience in his 9 games so we can get an honest evaluation of them instead of wasting his damn time still playing Darren Fells and Brendan Scarlett and Kelemente and Zach Fulton. Put them youngsters in there, and if they get their ass kicked, at least we'll figure out what the hell's wrong with them, and we'll be able to move on from it. But, Landry, before I let you and J-Lo go, I need to talk on this Robert Saleh guy that y'all trying to Saleh. Y'all trying to sell him to everybody. Look, if you look around the league, y'all got to come into the 21st century. This is not that kind of football no more. It's easier for me to go get him to be my defensive coordinator than you to go get a exceptional play caller like Eric Bieniemy or somebody that's going to be dynamic, because in today's NFL, you got to score points. And scoring points means you got to have an offensive system that has multiple dynamic plays and route options and things like that that gives your offense a chance to play and to outscore everybody. If you want to do something, go get EB and then bring Vance Joseph back here to call your defense. You see what he's doing. So there's different ways to attack this bird, but you got to make sure number 4 is the dude that is solid, man. So I just wanted to put that out there. And one last thing, Clint and Show, hello, and I'll holler.
See, but if they hire Robert Saleh, he can go, and I'll Saleh. Hey?
See what remix I did right there.
A little dad joke?
I get what my man Larry's saying, but, I mean, there are some defensive-minded coaches that are having success in the NFL. I mean, you look in Buffalo, right. Sean McDermott, Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Mike Vrabel. He's doing a pretty good job. I get what he's saying, but the thing with Robert Saleh is I'm not just saying bring him in here. There's a run game and pass game coordinator in San Francisco that are Kyle Shanahan's right-hand men, McDaniel and LaFleur. So if Saleh comes here, he's going to oversee that, and you're going to have a branch from the Shanahan tree. San Francisco gets the job done with Jimmy Garoppolo, and right. It's phenomenal. Now, does it have more to do with Shanahan? Sure. But
that's his guys.
I would argue that Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, and even John Dorsey have more to do with what's going on in Kansas City than Eric Bieniemy. So that would be my argument and my counter.
Here's
to the
my thing, and I'm glad you brought up Vrabel, because I was going to tell Larry, if you're looking for an example of what I want, it's what they're doing in Tennessee. Defensive-minded coach, a leader of men, very much an authoritarian and just kind of a commanding presence type of guy. That's Vrabel. That's also Robert Saleh. That dude just has whatever it is, he's got it, right? But, right, Figgy, but then they push the offense over to one dude, Arthur Smith in Tennessee, who might well be a head coach this year too, and just says, go do that voodoo that you do so well. You know, that just go do it, all right? And they stay away. That's
what
you
do what it do.
Yeah, that's what you can do here with Saleh and one of those Niners guys.
Yeah, I mean, you can still bring in some guys. I just think I'm not against an offensive guy, but if you're telling me that you need to hire an offensive guy, I'm thinking Byron Leftwich. I'm thinking Greg Roman. I don't think Bienemy has as much to do with what goes on in Kansas City as these guys do with what's going on in their spots. He's with the Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah.
He's with an all-time talented quarterback, and he's with some of the best weapons in the NFL. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Al-Sala will be.
And Al-Sala.
And Al-Sala. That would be nice. You get credit for that, by the way. Larry's going to be able to pull it off, but if Robert Sala comes and Al-Sala will be the way to go. Sometimes when I get in the rhythm of a show, I get a little bit, I don't want to say dizzy, but I start to get like
you kind of get ahead of yourself.
My vision gets a little bit blurry, and I start to see things that I don't think I saw. During the last break.
No, during the segment.
During the segment.
I was looking across, and I knew exactly what you were looking at.
I looked at my computer, and I literally had to put my hands in my head and rub my eyes and say,
what is going on?
And be like, do I need glasses? Yeah. Is something going on? Is this an anniversary? What is going on? And I'll be damned if it's not true. And it could also add some hope to something that Astros fans have hoped for nearly a year now.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit.
All right, so it looked like A.J. Hinch was going to be the manager of the Chicago White Sox. That was the word on the street, was that former Astros manager A.J. Hinch was going to be the manager for the White Sox. Makes sense. Makes sense. Why would you not want A.J. Hinch? They got a lot of talent in Chicago, too. Seems like A.J. Hinch would be the right guy. Amidst the speculation that A.J. was going to be the guy, something was thrown out there that I gave no mind.
I thought it was just like silly season.
Tony La Russa, former Cardinals manager, former A's manager, former White Sox manager, was linked to the White Sox. And I just said, okay, so AJ's got the job. I don't even know why this is a thing. I'll be damned if during the last break it did become official and Tony La Russa was named manager of the Chicago White Sox. This is good if you're an Astros fan and wants A.J. Hinch back, because the dream is still alive.
Right.
But are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me?
I saw this, and I felt the way you looked. I was like, this cannot be real. He's 76.
Dusty's in his 70s, too.
He calls Dusty kid. He does.
Dusty looks good for his age, though. Tony La Russa looks like a ghost.
He looks 86.
He acts 108.
He was managing a Major League Baseball team when I was in high school. He's a Hall of Famer, I get it, but it's almost to the point where if I were the commissioner, I would step in and say, "Nah, man. Nah, man. You got to do better than this."
If there's ever a time when it's even weirder than it already is that baseball managers have to wear uniforms, it's when a Tony La Russa has to put one on. Tony La Russa rocking the baseball uniform right now?
Yeah.
With his old balls and all that? What are we doing? That's really when it's true. I know Dusty's 70. Dusty's got a 21-year-old kid, though.
Yeah, he's bringing it.
Dusty's been bringing that wood.
Yeah, he's laying the pipe.
Tony La Russa, like, what did they say? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? And the sad thing is, this SOB is going to come here and be good. That's what I hate even worse, because I don't like
I don't
Tony
know
La Russa.
About that, man.
I think Tony La Russa is a jerk.
He is a jerk. One of the great tempers in baseball.
Look
history.
At this guy.
He's one of the big.
Look at this guy. He looks like a lion.
Tony La Russa is managing. For the first time. Well, actually, he started out managing at Chicago White Sox.
Dude, and that's the real BS that I think is dishonest. And I think a lot of the youngsters out there, shout out to the millennials that have been on Bumble or Tinder or anything can relate to, is the Chicago White Sox Twitter account puts this report out that Tony La Russa is going to be the manager. And they put out a picture that's at least 25 years ago and 35 pounds ago. ESPN at least put his real picture out, and that's the real guy. They are catfishing their fan base and not showing him the real thing. This guy looks terrible. He's got a white stripe in the front. He's got like the old skin. He's got the
Are you kidding me? Tony La Russa?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it.
So bring back AJ now or not?
Well, you know how I feel about that. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Tony La Russa.
I want to see the Astros and the White Sox now.
They're going to be at Minute Maid
Park. They play. Yeah. Dusty versus Tony. They play. And they hate each other.
They do? Did I know that? I don't think I knew that.
Look, here's Dusty talking about Tony La Russa. He hates. They hate. Shout out to the Chappelle Show and Charlie Murphy. They hate each other.
And now Dusty starts to holler at Tony La Russa. They've had their share of. And now Dusty's asking La Russa to come out and talk about it. They've had their share of shouting matches. Remember the playoffs last year.
And Dusty most unhappy, as you would expect. And we'll go from there. Ah, some hostility. Probably not deciding where they're going to have dinner.
June 17th.
They've tried to fight.
I want to see them fight now.
Who'd win that one?
Come on now. June 17th until through the 20th at Minute Maid Park. July 16th through the 18th in Chicago. Guaranteed Rate Park Field.
Dude, when I say Dusty and La Russa hate each other, Dusty and La Russa hate each other. Here's a quote from Tony La Russa on Dusty Baker. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
If Dusty had been more interested in Cueto being on the team, then he wouldn't be pitching him on Sunday. Cueto probably would be on the team if he wasn't pitching Sunday. He goes in on Dusty Baker. There's all kinds of quotes. He walked out on a press conference about him.
Well, we got to see him fight, right?
I think a lot of Astros fans would love to see Dusty get his hands on Tony La Russa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Astros definitely have a history with Tony La Russa. This is mind-blowing sometimes. It's also just a reflection of
some of these guys can't even think for themselves.
Well, the thing is
at least the Rockets, the Silas thing, at least they're thinking for themselves. I feel like Van Gundy would have been the Tony La Russa like hire.
No, he's a little younger and a little more with it. And he's still in the game in a sense. Yeah. Tony La Russa's.
I think it would have been the same thing. I think you're just saying that because he's a nice
guy.
Landry. Landry did.
Oh, come on.
He's 20 years younger than La Russa. So no, I don't agree with you on that. But I think it's also like this is the best baseball can do. This is all you got.
They could have hired anybody.
Anybody. They brought back Tony.
This ain't even an Astros situation where they put somebody in temporary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could understand Dusty because it's like, well, you need that steady hand, old school, fatherly figure, guiding them through the controversy. This is like they actually want to build something with 76-year-old Tony La Russa.
So they had a war of words because Tony La Russa, back when Dusty was a Red, I guess he selected someone for the All-Star team and he ignored Aroldis Chapman, I think.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes.
Here's the war of words. Here's what Dusty had to say about it. I'm happy for the guys who made it big time, especially for Chapman. You figured that Votto, he's talking about Joey Votto, would have made it. So Chapman did make it, Votto. You figured that Votto would make it. We knew that Jay had an outside chance. This is what Dusty Baker was saying. So then you also figured guys like Johnny Cueto and Brandon Phillips had a great chance. I don't understand that one. A snub like that looks bad, and it makes me wonder if it's about the playing ability or something personal. This is Dusty Baker talking about Tony La Russa. Johnny and Brandon were at the center of a skirmish between us and the Cardinals. Some of the Cardinals who aren't there anymore are making some of these selections for Tony La Russa in the All-Star team. Tony La Russa replied, if Dusty had been more interested in Cueto being on the team, then he wouldn't be pitching him on Sunday. Cueto probably would be on the team if he wasn't pitching on Sunday. So he's basically saying that Dusty cost him a spot, which that's never mattered in the All-Star game, by the way. You pick the guy who deserves it.
And he just goes. Yeah, he just goes.
La Russa goes on to say, the comments Dusty made clearly disappoint me and are attacking my integrity. The All-Star experience is too important to let anything stand in the way of a decision like that. No way am I going to penalize anybody for any kind of past history. The fact is that Cueto is going to be pitching on Sunday some other day. He's probably on the team.
Hmm. Yeah, that's I could see where that would be a bit of an issue, for sure.
Tony La Russa, new coach of the Chicago White Sox. Still no trades, John.
Still no trades, but I'm a little bit surprised.
We got two shows left before the deadline, and there's still no trades.
I'm a little bit surprised when, as it pertains to the Texans, because they had an off week. Someone like JJ, someone like Fuller, you could see where they would get traded in their off week. But otherwise, it's going to be into early
next week.
Is getting
traded on your off week like getting fired on your day off, like Friday?
No, it makes more sense that you get traded on your off week.
So it's not the same?
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Brien got fired on his day off, like Craig.
He did. He sure did.
I wish Debo would have smacked him.
How the heck are you going to get fired on your day off?
I wish Debo would have smacked him.
Uh-huh.
Just kidding. Kinda. Let's hear from the Tough, Smart, Dependable guys before we get out of here. I'm really proud of the work that the Tough, Smart, Dependable choir boys have put on during the bye week. Deshaun Watson was buying kids shoes and Halloween costumes yesterday. That's awesome, because we expect that from four. But what about the choir boys, Brandon Cooks, Whitney Merciless, Brennan Scarlett?
Yeah.
What were they doing at the River Oaks Country Club?
Zay the Chi, my friend. Neath the elms we sing our tones. We're brothers to the end. Muffy in the bathroom stall, Margaret by the lake, Susan down in Whitley Hall, Constance on the make. Constance Fry, anytime you'd call. Constance would fulfill your need, winter, spring, or fall.
You have to have versatility, like.
Good fellas right there,
man.
Good fellas right there.
That was great. That was really good.
That was really good. Really great. It's really awesome. Shout out to the Tough, Smart, Dependable folks out there. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. It is trade deadline week. You got a bye week. You got a 1-6 football team. Hopefully, some moves are made. Hopefully, tomorrow we're talking about some trades. But regardless, we'll be talking about football. Because it is Football Friday manana. John Lopez has eaten the stolen snacks from NRG that he took
Sam's
on Sunday.
Sam's Club, baby, Sam's Club.
You originally said remembered. Costco.
I did say Costco first.
You said Costco.
It's a fluid thing.
I might have eaten some of those, so I'm kind of an accomplice now. But it's all good. I did not see it. See you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow on Football Friday for the OG John Lopez. For Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do. Most importantly for you, the Loophole. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Football Friday tomorrow, 10 a.m. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.